Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
It is great to see everybody here. Glad that you're with us today. We got a lot to do, so let's just jump right in. We began a new series this month called Movember, The Art of Spiritual Momentum. And today I'm continuing with a thought I call Not Our First Rodeo. Not our first rodeo, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where we're going to begin. Many of you know the story when David, young David, is sent to help his brothers. He's doing the first Domino's pizza delivery. The Bible says his dad sent him with bread and cheese. And so a little sauce on that, and you got a pizza. Anyway, so he goes to the front line. He overhears these threats and intimidations by the giants. It's interesting Pastor Lindsay hit all the giant songs today, because that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. And the Bible says that David went to ask permission from King Saul to fight the giant, and that's where we pick it up in 1 Samuel 17:33 from the Message version. The Bible says, Saul answered David and said, "You can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. You're too..." Fill in your own word there. You're too young, you're too big, you're too small, you're too poor, you're too rich, you're too ugly, too smart, too beautiful, too whatever. You're too young and inexperienced. He's been at this fighting business since before you were born. David said, "I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine." And Saul said, "Go and God help you." My point is here that momentum has building blocks. Building blocks. We'll come back to it. I want to finish in my text this morning. This came up really strong prophetically in my spirit this week. Jeremiah chapter 12 is called Jeremiah's complaint in the Bible. It's referred to that way. I call it Jeremiah's pity party, because he starts yammering on in Jeremiah chapter 12 saying, "God, I got some questions. You got some splaining to do. I don't understand why it looks like other people that aren't serving you like I am are prospering more than me." And who among us hasn't asked that question? But our God, who answers like Jesus answers, sometimes answers a question with a question, but always with great wisdom. Here's God's reply. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 from the Message. And this is, I believe, a word from the Lord for the body of Christ today. "So Jeremiah, if you're worn out in this foot race with men, what makes you think you can race against horses? And if you can't keep your wits during times of calm, what's going to happen when troubles break loose like the Jordan in flood?" The Jordan in flood always speaks of the harvest time. God says, if you can't handle growing season, how are you going to handle harvest time? Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart today? Let your word come forth in power and in strength. Let that prophetic word seep into the core of our beings, that we can be strengthened by it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our month is called Movember, the art of spiritual momentum. We said momentum is primarily the quantity of motion of a moving body measured as product of its mass and velocity. I said, if I just push on this table, I can flip it off the stage. But if I get a running start and hit it, I can knock it way back and hit camera one in the back there toward the people that are watching on TV on or online. We said in order to kickstart momentum, we need to change what we're looking at and how we're looking at it. Remember, oh, magnify the Lord with me, we said. What you magnify becomes larger in your eyes, and that becomes the fulfillment of your spiritual vision. I got a scripture this week that kind of backed that up, and then we'll move forward. But Isaiah 41 from the Passion Translation, verse 10 says this. God says, do not yield to fear, for I am always near. This is God starting to rap. This is when hip-hop first started. Do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. The whole thing of that is, never turn your gaze from me. Keep your eyes on God. Remember today, remember if you will, that if you're upset by the election today, you're probably on the other side 4 years ago. And if you're excited about the election results this week, then you're probably on the other side. Have compassion for other people that are taking it a different way than you did. As Pastor Chris said, the kingdom is bigger. That's why we don't focus on the minors, because the major thing is Christ, him crucified, and he is king. And he is Lord of this land, and he will be honored. So just have a little bit of compassion and step back. Now, my big thought for today is this. As the Lord responded to Jeremiah's complaint, if you've run with the footmen and they wearied you, how will you contend with horses? I would say it in other words. If you're exhausted during training camp, how are you going to fight for the heavyweight championship? Everything God does, according to the book of Isaiah, is precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Breakthroughs don't happen just in a sudden outburst of God's presence and power. Breakthroughs happen because you begin to build strength upon strength. The Bible says he takes us from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from faith to faith. We go from one level to another level. This week, I was just mindful that we have people that are battling cancer in our church, and they might have felt passionate about voting, but they certainly weren't focused on the outcome of the election. They're focused on their battle with cancer. And we're believing with you. There's some things that are bigger and outside of, and we need to stand and believe with those folks. You don't just wait for momentum. You find it, or you create momentum. You build toward it, first of all, by recognizing the previous battles you've been through that have prepared you and the principles you learned along the way. Pastor Gill had a message a while back called Remember. It's about remembering. Listen, when we take communion together again in a few weeks, that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We need to remember the right things. We need to remember the right things. Recall those things. Young David was battle tested. Even as a teenager, when everybody looked down on him because he was so young and inexperienced, he had had a lot more experiences than many of them had, and he had to show great courage already. But they didn't know it by the outward appearance. David recognized that he had already been through some stuff and that God came through for him every time. When he referenced the lions and tigers and bears, thank you, we assume that David, you never saw The Wizard of Oz. I know we're getting up there, but still, there are some things that are classic, please. Even when he referenced these animals, these wild animals, we assume that, I'd always kind of read that as, that David had an encounter with a lion and another with a bear. But that's not what it says. The Bible says that David, when he's talking to Saul, and Saul's despising his youth and saying, look, you're too young, you're too inexperienced, there's no way you can do this. David said, whenever a lion came, whenever a bear came. You know, if we're talking about lions, tigers, and bears, we might as well be talking about the NFL. But anyway, he said when it came, he said there were times when it let it go, and I took the lamb back. And there were times when it turned to attack me, and I grabbed it by the beard and defeated it and killed it. That means he had many confrontations in his occupation as a shepherd boy, several battles, and he realized that they were preparing him for greater and greater victories. I would bet you, even if you're in your mid-20s, you've been through some battles in your life. I'll guarantee you anybody over 50 has. And I will bet you that if you would look back, you would see God's hand, even if you weren't serving him, even if you were an enemy of God at the time, God, who loved you anyway, helped you. And there are times you look back, and if you would give him glory, you would see him come into greater focus for your future, not just for your past. David comes to King Saul and says, "You don't understand. We can't presume that someone doesn't have proper experience simply based on their outward appearance, their age, their race, their gender, their socioeconomic status, or however people try to divide us up into all these things. That doesn't tell the whole story, does it?" I would venture to say that many of you, because as the pastor, I know many of your stories, and I'm so thankful that I do. But if you looked around the room and you saw some of the most excited worshipers a few moments ago, and they're expressing their worship, and they're praising God, and you look at that person and say, "Boy, that person's really got it all together. They must have never been through anything." If you only knew the stories, if we had time to just have the testimonies of the people in the room, there are some people that have walked in hell. Yeah, that's right. Not going to quit. Keep moving. That's right. We got to understand. See, a lot of times we just look at the outward appearance, don't we? Tats or no tats. We just look at people's outer appearance, their age. We define them by the age. How many know when David already knew by this point that God doesn't judge after the outward appearance, but God judges the heart? That's what the word says. David already knew that all of his older brothers had been chosen by their look or their height or their age, their status. Some theologians believe that David wasn't even invited to the house when Samuel came to anoint one of his sons because there's a possibility that David may have been illegitimate, that his father, he was kind of a stepchild. He wasn't maybe the full brother of the other brothers. We don't know, but for whatever reason, pardon me, he wasn't even invited to the party. And yet God kept coming to Samuel the prophet and saying, "Not that one. He looks good, but that's not my choice." And they get this runt, the run of the litter. And he's out there, and his dad kind of writes on, "Hey, well, yes, okay, I do have one more son, but he's one of those artsy kids. He's one of those crafty, he plays a harp. He's out tra-la-la-ing in the fields with the sheep. We don't even really have him stay in the house that much. You can't mean him." Samuel says, "Bring him." Because God doesn't look at the outward appearance like man does. Aren't you thankful that God looks at the heart? Aren't you thankful that God goes after the underdog? Man, if I look around this room, if I could just tell some of your stories, some of the things you went through in your marriage and you're still standing, some things you went through in your finances that you thought were going to take you under and God just has you over, overcomer. Please notice that what David doesn't say is what happened to him the first time a lion snuck into his flock to eat leg of lamb for dinner. I would bet you, I was kind of trying to put myself in that, I bet it was a terrifying situation the first time. That he hears a lion growling. I've heard people say in Africa, when you hear a lion's roar from nearby, that it just puts shivers through your body. Because you, if you're staying in a tent, you're about to be barbecued. But a man-eating lion going after David's responsibility, threatening his very life, he had to step up even that first time. But by now, when he comes to King Saul, we know from Scripture he's a teenager. He's maybe between 13 and 17 years of age. And yet he's had these terrifying experiences that God came through. Well, you say, Pastor, didn't he have PTSD? Well, I don't know, but I know this. He trusted God. I don't know what initials he must have had. He had trauma. There's no doubt he had trauma. But he didn't get help from his brothers or his father that time. He got help from his heavenly Father. And he knew that the same heavenly Father was going to help him. I would imagine that the next time that a lion or a bear came, that David had a little more faith and confidence in God's ability through him. Or when the bear showed up, I would understand this as he argued his case before King Saul. I fought lions, I fought bears, and God delivered me, and this giant will just be next on the list. David was building strength upon strength. Momentum comes from faith and confidence, not in yourself, but in your relationship with God. David used this as he became king, even though his father-in-law Saul was later trying to kill him. The Bible says 2 Samuel 3:1. Now there was a long war between the house or family of Saul and the house or family of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. My friends, spiritual momentum affects your whole family and everybody around you. Spiritual momentum, this spirit of David, this heart of David, this heart of a giant slayer, this heart of a lion killer, this heart of one who could take down bears with his fists, with his hands, this heart affected everybody around him. And I submit to you today that many of you, most of you, probably all of you, have been battle tested too. In some ways, some of the things you've been through have either hardened you or softened your heart to God. And I would hope it would be the latter. Spiritual momentum is supposed to affect your whole family. You've got to take the fact you've been battle tested more than you realize. My friends, you are more resilient than you think you are because of Christ in you. The Bible says if Jesus is in you, then who can stand against you? What can stand against you? Nothing can take his love from you. Nothing can take his passion for you. Nothing can take that from you. Nothing can take your salvation from you except you. Resilience. Every battle becomes a building block. As Pastor Lindsay sings in one of his songs, nothing is wasted. Nothing you've been through. Can I say this to you? Every crappy job you've had in your life will at some point come into play in your future. Everything you've done, every garbage job, every dumb thing. My first job was McDonald's. My second was Sambo's. I was a short order cook. I worked all night. It was like a Denny's back then. Somebody remember Sambo's? My third job was at Jordan Marsh, which became part of Burdine's, which became part of Macy's. Altamont Mall. And on Sunday mornings, I got paid time and a half to clean toilets. Now, I got some stories that I can't say here. I will say I have a strong opinion about which bathrooms are dirtier, men's or women's, and I won't tell you which. Let's just say I feel sorry for you ladies. When I would get there on Sunday mornings, the women's bathrooms looked like there had been a riot. It's crazy. But remember, the word says this, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift you up. Sometimes people want to ask me, how did you get where you are? Well, first of all, let me tell you very clearly, for about 2 years, I cleaned toilets. And I did a good job. You say, well, how did that help you? It kept me close to the throne. Every job you've ever had, God stilled or instilled something in your inner person, your heart, your character, your courage. Everything you've ever done, God is going to use it for his glory if you'll just let him. Quit bellyaching and complaining and just keep working. Nothing is wasted. Every battle becomes a training ground. Every lion, every bear you take out with God's help becomes momentum for the day you face another giant. If Christ is in you, you are stronger than you feel, more resilient than you think, and now your Goliath must fall. I don't know what your Goliath is this week, this month, this year, but I'm telling you, the battles that we face, you're going to take the sling. You're going to have the courage. You're going to have the confidence. Hey, the God who took me through that battle and brought me through victorious on the other side has got this too. If he brought me through that, he's going to bring me through this. He didn't bring me out, as I said last week. He didn't bring us out this far to take us backward. I don't know about you, I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to the world that had me. I'm not going back to drugs and alcohol. I'm not going back to mess. I'm not going back to chaos. I'm going forward. I'm going with God because he's already proven too much. He's already shown himself. He's already shown his glory. I'm not going to back down. It's too late. David is credited of writing the Psalm 144, verse 1, where he says this, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Basically, David said in essence, I've been in God's training camp all along, and so have you. You're in training. You're in this training camp. Maybe you're in a battle right now. Think back at all he's done already. David's part of his strength was he understood his covenant with God. He understood that it was about, he had a covenant relationship. He was a child of God. He saw God as his father, and he saw and understood that Abraham had made a blood oath with God, a blood covenant with God. He knew that he was a seed of Abraham, and he knew he was standing on a blood covenant. And a blood covenant becomes a guarantee of mutual protection and shared resources. This confidence wasn't in himself. That's why he said, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of those. Why? What? He's not talking about the circumcision or not of surgery. He's talking about this guy has no relationship with God, and I do. And because I do, I know God's going to take him down. Covenant breeds confidence. Let me ask you this. How confident are you in your covenant with God through Jesus Christ? How confident? Because if you're confident in that, if you know that it's not about you and your works and your righteous deeds and your self-righteousness and all of your trying to do right and trying to do better, if you know it's about what Jesus did to pay the full price for your sin and for mine by going to a horrible cross, a horrendous death, descending into hell, taking back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, rising from the dead. The Bible says in Galatians that if you belong to Christ, you are now Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise that he's going to take care of you, that he's got your back, that he's going to fight for you when you're in a fight, that he's going to provide for you when you're in a financial battle. He's going to take care of you because all the resources that are his are yours. Give him praise. Come on. God will keep his promises. This is what actually changes in the spirit realm when momentum shifts. Confident believing. When you get that confidence in your heart, faith comes out of your mouth. David recognized that when the momentum of God was upon him, he needed to ride that wave of victory until it was done. I love Psalm 18. Verse 37 from the Message. Listen to this. This is the language of David when he's been in a battle. And he says this: when I chased my enemies, I caught them. I didn't let go till they were dead men. I nailed them. They were down for good. Then I walked all over them. You armed me well for this fight. You smashed the upstarts. You made my enemies turn tail. I wiped out the haters. They cried uncle, but uncle didn't come. I love that. They yelled for God and got no for an answer. So I ground them to dust. They gusted in the wind. I threw them out like garbage in the gutter. My friends, that's how you handle the demonic realm. He said, I beat down my enemies and then I annihilated them. See, we leave fragments and remnants because we celebrate too early. We've got to learn to celebrate our victories with a mindset of preparation for greater victories. 2 weeks ago, 2 Sundays ago, some of you might have seen the Chicago Bears-Washington Commanders game. When Tyreek Stevenson, the Chicago Bears, took the ball in to the end zone, but celebrated so much from the 5-yard line that he dropped the ball on the one. And turned the whole game around. And I was watching that thinking, I'm going to preach that one day. Because I think Christians do that all the time. We celebrate too early when there's still work to be done. Momentum means you recognize when the wind is in your sails and you keep sailing. You recognize when God is with you and you keep working. Hebrews 10 says this: cast not away your confidence, which has great reward. Not confidence, not self-confidence, but confidence in your Heavenly Father. My friends, this is not our first rodeo. This is our, I forget how many presidential elections we've been through the last 30, let's see, so 92, 96, 2000, that was a battle. That was a giant. 2004, 2008, 2012, 2016, 2020, 2024. 9 presidential elections in a church that's alive with diversity. In a church where we got people on both sides of the aisle. But the King of Kings is still the King of Kings. Jesus is still Lord. Pick up those of you that freak out. I look at some of your posts on social media and think, oh, come on. Come on. Don't be so silly. Because in 4 years there's gonna be another election. I told you at the beginning of this year, my pledge to you was on Vision Sunday, we're not going that route we went in 2020 where people were divided and spitting on each other and getting mad. I don't mean literally spitting, but just about. We had arguments online. We had people in the church. We had people mad at the police, and we had police officers in the church that were brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're mad at each other. And I almost had a nervous breakdown. I probably shouldn't confess that, but I was close to the edge. Middle of summer of 2020. During COVID. And I was ashamed. in some ways, of the reaction of people that said they love God. But I can say today, we slayed that giant, and now another giant is slain, and we're moving forward. But you got to get your eyes off of all this stuff, because if you just listen to, you know, if I look at your post, I can tell what channel you're watching. Information, the information superhighway has changed. But we get it from this book. This book. That is not the words of men. It's not the words of twisting. It's not the words of brainwashing, although some need to be washed in the blood. This book supersedes it all. Build on small wins. Don't let the foot race of this moment zap all your strength. Because this is not our first rodeo. You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's time to run with horses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your abundant life. We thank you for peace in the house. We thank you for healing all the wounds. We thank you that one side doesn't spike the ball in the end zone and dance around and brag, because our hope is not in man. We're thankful, Father, for your choices, for what you're doing, for your times and your seasons, but our hope is in you. And we will not be disappointed, because our confidence is in your word, your eternal, unchanging, everlasting word. And we give you glory and praise. Now, Father, I pray for those that are in a battle right now. Not an imagined battle, not a human-created battle, not a political battle. I pray for those that are in a battle for their mind or their home or their heart or their marriage or their finances or their relationships. I pray for those that are battling against cancer, against heart disease, against high blood pressure. I come against that. In Jesus' name, I pray for them that you would give them momentum. Give them one victory this week and another victory next week. Give them the steps and the building blocks to a new confidence and a new hope that is in you. For we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name. Keep your head bowed just for a moment, those of you at home as well. If you're here today and you're going through a struggle, a battle, I'm not talking about imagine, I'm talking about a real battle. You know who you are. I just want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, this is the time. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Trust in him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge and honor him. And his promises is to direct your paths. If you're in a battle, would you just put your hand up in the air and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I need help. I need God's help. Just be real about it. That's good. Father, I pray for everyone whose hand is raised, whose heart is open. I pray for anyone in a battle for the salvation of their children or grandchildren. I pray for anyone that is believing, anyone that is fighting for someone, a loved one that's in addiction. How many times it seems like a never-ending battle, Lord, but you are God, and we pray healing and deliverance right now. Lord, you are a deliverer, and you're mighty. And we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise. Thank you for not giving up on anyone in the room. Thank you, Father. You never give up on us. You never run out. Your mercy is new every morning. And I pray for everyone whose hand is raised at home and in the room right now, wherever you are. Lord, let there be a touch of the Holy Spirit's power and presence. Come around them and hold on to them and give them confidence in this battle. Victory is assured if you just don't quit. The same God who defeated the lion and the bear in your life has already defeated the giant. In Jesus' name. Amen. You receive that today? You receive it at home? You receive it? Let's give him praise. Come on, he is mighty.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.